times, of times that have been spent in Scripture, and sermon series and things like that that I have done. And one of those series was very early here at Valley. I may have started it about 39 years ago. It was a long time ago. I did what we called the series was Sermons in Contrast. And what I would do, I would take a passage that was one of those you'd put on a plaque on the wall out of the Old Testament, preach the passage, and then show you we have something better. Replace the plaque, as it were. And so I did and I don't remember how many messages, it was at least a year, where we were doing Old Testament material, and I would preach it like, well, I wouldn't misapply it, but I would give the implications of it and then take away that old stuff and replace it with the brand new stuff. And it's nice to replace the horse and buggy with a Cadillac. And that's what we have in Christ in this, not living under law. When we look at Thanksgiving today, I wanted to read the 100th Psalm because it is such a popular psalm, and it is often read in just the intro to services. Some churches have their ruts. We sing, "You look beyond my fault and in the beloved." I won't call that a rut. I'm rooting for that. So is that a root, a rut? Anyway, we do that. But the old 100th happens to be put to hymn tunes, and it's people sing it with rolled eyes and happiness and all of this sort of thing because they have construed it to mean what they want it to mean rather than taking what it says literal. And so that's the reason I wanted to give that little bit of an overview when we read that passage of Scripture. But when we come to the Old Testament and Thanksgiving, it's rather interesting because it seems simple. That is, Thanksgiving has a verb, and it also has a noun. The verb is yada. It occurs 111 times in the New Testament. Most of the time it is found cause to give thanks. I'm going to stop there. We'll come there in a moment. But it's usually a causative in these cases. And it's rather interesting when we see it. And there's some, because of some translation issues, it's confusing. It would have confused them then unless you knew the temple was where it was. And when you understood it, then it made more sense. When you understood the divine provision for communication with God, the reason you went to the temple was so that someone could lead in this matter of thanksgiving and probably stand for you in that matter. That is a priest. In the Old Testament, it was not a privilege for a common hoi polloi Israelite to be able to pray to God. That's why the pilgrimage feasts of Israel, which required them to be at Jerusalem at the temple, was it were gracious. Because then you could get the priest whose job it was to communicate for you, and that was important. So yada is one, and then toda, you can kind of hear that in the noun. It's interesting when we see that. Now, where the confusion comes is if you look this up, and I took the King James Version, which is AV, Authorized Version. The King James translates it, "Be thankful, give thanks, or thank," 40 times. Whoa, that's a lot short of the 111. 40 times it's translated to be, in a matter of thanks. It's translated confess or make confession 18 times. Wow, that seems like that is really foreign. This counters the idea of thanksgiving and confessing. And then it's translated praise 53 times. Now, what is what is what? How do you know? What is going on here? It's interesting when you look at translations. We'll look at a couple on the way through. And that is where English translations sometimes will translate this root praise while the same verse is translated thanks in another translation. And it's not a real, I mean, it's a problem in that it's a confusing term. Context should determine it. If we went back, and I don't find a lot of people going back through the New Testament and taking some of that definition back, like praise, if they did that, I would help a little, but it's totally different. And so it's kind of an interesting problem that we face. You know, how do we translate yada? Do we translate it be thankful? Do we translate it confess? Or do we translate it praise? And that's all Thanksgiving. There are no other terms in the Old Testament that can be translated Thanksgiving. It's all by itself. It's kind of interesting, the Septuagint, they use another word, which is odd because it's not even in the New Testament to do it, and we're not worried about that. The noun is translated Thanksgiving. It's a feminine noun all the way down. 24 times, confession twice, and praise 6 times. A little disproportionate from what we have in the verb. So that's confusing. How do you know when you read the word confess that it's not thanks, or when you read the word praise that it's not thanks? I mean, an English reader has a problem. And then to make it even more complicated, when you look at the word praise, yada is translated praise some 53 times. But you know the Hebrew word for praise, don't you? Hallelujah. 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 Halal. Let's get it right. Halal. Now that's different than the word yada. Halal is a term that has the idea of a physical kind of response. There are places where it involves a raising of hands. It involves the idea of movement, even to the point of a hora. Now, a hora is an Israeli dance. I mean, they do that. If you were involved with Orthodox Judaism, one of the key areas of Chassidim in most of the Hasidic Jews, they love to dance. In fact, they have a lot of trouble as to whether men should dance with women or not. But the men can dance with men and the women can dance with the women and they go absolutely crazy. You know, you get these guys with long beards, and their funny hats and their black clothes, and they're out there just like they're spastics, dancing in their 80s. And they do, you know, all kinds of interesting things. The reason that they do that is because of some of these words for praise. Halal is one of them. See, when we see hallelujah, and it's transliterated over in Revelation, for example, halal is to praise. U is a second masculine plural ending. So it's you guys praise. Yah on the end is Jehovah. So when it says praise ye the Lord, that's hallelujah. Lesson in Hebrew this morning, in that matter. So that one occurs 150 times. There's another word, which is shakak, which is a word that has the idea of showing joy, an expression of joy, a joy of one's well-being. And so there's this happiness. In other words, this concept of praise is the kind when you're in an environment, and if you were Jewish, and you thought of something and it made you real happy and you could not help but get a smile on your face and couldn't get it off. You're just plain happy. And that term occurs 102 times. Most of these occur often in the Psalms. Zomer is a word that means to break out in song of praise. You're right, it's in the Psalms a lot. To break out in song. Do you do that? I have that little problem once in a while. Things will be going on. Next thing you know, I'm belting out some kind of a melody, and I say, where did that one come from? I haven't thought of that song for a long time. So some old hymn will come ripping out, and we try to keep that in some kind of a channel. And then the word barak, which is what I've been dealing with in infirmity, is the word to bless. It's translated thank even twice. I made the note here because I'm in praise twice. But it means to bless. And so that praise is kind of confusing. I wouldn't translate barak praise, but they do twice in the King James on it. But these other four, they're different elements of a response to what God has done or who God is. Now, thanksgiving for us is a response to what God has done. Praise for us is a response to what God's character has manifested and what he's done. I mean, there's a nice, clean distinction. And so one is a response to God and who he is, and then the other is a response to God and what he's done. That's thanksgiving. And so that's quite different. I thought a lot of years ago that very probably I was being led to write a set of books on communication with God. Many of you sat in the class and that, and I've taught it for many, 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 many years. Done a lot of, in fact, my forum papers sometimes were designed to be chapters in books. I think I have about three or four of them that were designed to be chapters in books on communication with God. And I worked it from the first month I was in the pastor. And so it's been a study that I've done for most all of my life. And I've enjoyed it, and I haven't been led to do it. And I'm ready on it. Because it's so much fun. The material I want to share with you today is a fragment of one of those things. I did it in a forum paper long ago as part of that prep. And that is, thanksgiving under the law is different than thanksgiving under grace. And that's what's very, very important. Now, how do we know what this word yada means when we look at it in the text? We have to depend upon an English translation. And if you don't know that that's this one word is used there, you can flip a coin almost. And you can look at one translation and another, and one will say translated thanks, another will translate it praise. Confession. You remember what the great acts of confession were under law? How did you confess under law? What you did when you broke the law, you brought the appropriate sacrifice. You didn't put it in the back of a truck to conceal it, because they didn't have trucks in those days. And if you managed to get your sacrifice in the back of a wagon, that would be advertising it more so. So you'd be walking down the streets of Jerusalem with the appropriate animal, whether it was a lamb, a goat, or an oxen, or a whatever animal. And it just was telling everybody, messed up again, messed up again, look at this. And they look and they start, now let's see, what kind of sin did he do? Which one is required here? And it really was an interesting public confession when you marched down to the temple with your animal to be sacrificed for your sins. That sounds embarrassing. But if the only nature you have is a sin nature, it's going to happen. And it did happen. if there was some consistency in this matter. And so when we come to the law, why would we take our animal and take it to a priest? Because God had designated hitters. That is, the priest had duties that took the place of the people. Now, I mentioned last week in the Hebrews, I mentioned it, in fact, I mentioned it in the synopsis this week, and that is that law on Sinai was not a good deal. Law was a punishment for the lack of faith of Israel because they wanted to work for something God was going to give to them for free. In fact, he had promised them. They promised Father Abraham in Genesis 15 that all they have to do is guard and believe that covenant, and that's the primary one. There are three other Abrahamic covenants. And all they had to do was believe. And they say, whatever the Lord wants us to do, we will do it. They wanted to do. They didn't want to believe. They wanted to work for it. God says, okay, I'll let you work for it. Get your neck in the yoke of bondage because you're going to see that you can't do it. And the law proved over and over and over and over that men with their single nature could not do what God wanted them to do. It was too much for them, and it was an issue. And so what happened under the law, part of the constraints of the law, you had to go to a priest. You had to go to a priest to pray. If you were a king, you had some, there were exceptions. Kings could pray, but not all of them. If you were a prophet, if you were the prophet of Jehovah, he would hear a prophet's communication only at his discretion. There were prophets Jehovah never bothered to hear in the sense that he heard and responded. And so God set up this hierarchy, which made the yoke of bondage very difficult. And so this thing of communication, and there are different definitions. When I read through this, I've gone through most of the 111 this week, considering the fact that I didn't even remember it was Thanksgiving week until Monday night. At evening school, the debate was, do I do Hebrews and preach Hebrews and skip Thanksgiving, or do a Thanksgiving message? And I debated it a couple days, and we're here. You can see what happened. I'd like to think the Lord won, not me, in that. I already have the message outlined and structured and pretty close to done for next Sunday now, because I had, like I said, I hadn't even thought about Thanksgiving this week. And so what happens, you have today, we're living in a day where a lot of people are going to go to the Old Testament. We love the Psalms. I still remember a day when, this goes back, we had teachers' meetings. We tried to have devotions with our teachers. I'm trying to remember, it was twice a week. But anyway, we would get together when I was in El Serrante. And so what would happen, the teachers would divide this devotional thing up. And I still remember one teacher, oh, that's easy. Just use the Psalms. And I bit my tongue. Fortunately, it didn't bleed. So in that matter. And so we got a lot of misapplication of Psalms. And it was hard for me as a new pastor coming in and keep my mouth shut about a lot of it. I was maybe wiser then, I don't know, in that matter. And so the Psalms have a lot of things, but boy, do they confuse. When you thank God for his loving kindness, for his goodness. That doesn't sound like grace to me. Not grace communication. That's praise and grace. Remember the definition of praise in Hebrews 13:15? Let us offer the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. I mean, saying the same thing about his character. So you have characters, that's attributes and essence of God. And so the idea, most of these passages that relate are related to the temple. Now you notice there was a problem, and Ezekiel describes that problem. There was so much abuse among the priests and the people. When we get to Ezekiel, one of the key themes of Ezekiel is the departure of the glory of the Lord from the Holy of Holies, out of the temple, across the threshold, out the eastern gate, and over to the Mount of Olives and off to heaven. So the glory left. That is the Son, God the Son, who lived in the, between the cherubs and the Ark of the Covenant. It departed. There was no person there for a priest to communicate with, in the sense, the Old Testament sense. And so that became a problem. And so with these three different meanings, I want to take a moment, and I'm trying to judge my time. I just have a list of passages. I was ready to outline them, and I decided, you know, it's just as easy to put them down. And I only put one comment at the beginning, and that is in 1 Chronicles 16:4. 1 Chronicles 16 is an interesting passage in that 1 Chronicles 16 is when David got God's permission to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He got God's permission and he brought it. And David, I mean, to me, when I read this story around 1 Chronicles 16, I see probably David's purest heart in what happened in that event. He came. He wanted to have a close relationship as an Old Testament saint to God, as the one who came to be known as a man after God's own heart. Yet he was a murderer. He had killed many people justly in battle. God prevented him from actually building the temple because he was a bloody man in that matter. And so Solomon was the one who accomplished that. And this description in 1 Chronicles 16:4, and he, that is David, appointed certain of the Levites to do service before the Ark of Jehovah. He appointed from the Levites to do service. Now, the word service here is kind of like there are two words in the Greek. One is liturgeo, which is to serve in a religious way in the heavenly temple. Latria, idolatria, is a service, a religious kind. And so that's what is described here. And so these were appointed to do service before the Ark of Jehovah. That means outside the curtain. And so they didn't have direct access, but they served him and they had some purposes. Now if you happen to open your Bible and look at it, you may have some interesting translations next. King James says, to record. The English Standard Version translates to invoke. New American Standard translates to celebrate. Boy, those are different. New King James says to commemorate. And just kind of an interesting collection. They had a responsibility to elevate the position of the Ark of the Covenant among the people. So people saw how important it was. And then it goes on. And to thank and to praise Jehovah, the God of Israel. Now, that's a place where you can see to thank and praise. Thank and praise. First word is our Yada word. The second one is the Hallelujah word. So they had this responsibility. He doesn't say what they did to do that, but it says that was their responsibility. And the one who was the object was Jehovah, the God of Israel. It becomes very pointed. Now, it's interesting. I'm going on down later in a few verses. You can open. I mean, that's one thing. I did try to put some of these together when I did this set of notes. And the next verses I want to look at are 7 and 8. Then on that, let me get the translation I would normally use. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Asaph was kind of the choir director. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds. So you have thanks, you have calling on his name and making known his works or his deeds. And so it's interesting because it's translated give thanks in most translations. It makes sense. It doesn't say praise in most of them. Even the English Standard Version does it that way. And so here you have the presence of Jehovah. You have a formal, and I won't call it a liturgy, but it was a formal document that was to be sung by the priestly choir in this matter. And he tells the people, encourages them. He says, oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks is just literally an imperative. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Another imperative. In fact, just want to call in his name. Identify with his character. And cause to make known to the peoples his works. So it's kind of an interesting picture. Now let's go on down to the end of that chapter. That takes us clear down to verse 34 is where I need to go. First Chronicles 16:34. It's not in your notes because it's got thanks in it. So I wanted to put that there so you can add that if you would like. I had one mistake here, and then I should have added this when I was working it. First Chronicles 16, and I want to start at 34, and we'll read 34 and 35. And it says, then shall 16:34. Okay, the trees are in 33. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Now see, good seems to be a response to his character, doesn't it? You've been made happy. So he is good. Yeah. Thanksgiving is a time in where we appreciate the goodness of God, but that should be praise and grace. We're happy. He's provided us benefits. He's given us things that make us happy in this matter. For his loving kindness endures forever. Now the word that's translated mercy, there's that little rule, and over the years I probably forget to say it. When you see mercy in the Old Testament, it's normally not mercy. So either the word for loving kindness or tender compassion. This is chesed, is loving kindness. This is this closeness that he has to Israel that is a manifestation of his love, in that matter. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the nations, says heathen in the King James, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. That sounds like somebody's wheeling and dealing, doesn't it? They like to do that. They like to establish some conditions. God, you do this, and then we'll give thanks. It sounds like something we saw back in this tithe situation where Jacob says, give me $1 million, and I'll give you 10%. You know, I mean, this is the way it worked under law. And so you can see that. You have this, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, your character. Once again, it sounds more like praise in the New Testament than than think in the New Testament. But you have glory in thy praise. The word praise is hallel here of the noun form. And that, so that's verse 35. Verse 41 takes us closer to the end, where God did some designated hitting, picked designated hitters. But I guess I need to read back. Verse 39, then Zadok the priest and his brethren the priest before the tent of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon to offer sacrifice. And I'm going to skip down verse 41. And with them Heman and Jehudathan, the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name to give thanks to the Lord. God designated people to give thanks with that presence of the ark in Jerusalem. So like I say, designated hitters. They had that specific job of leading. I look at it, and it, after having been saved under grace as long as I have, that's kind of primitive, isn't it? Because I don't need to go through anybody to be thankful. I can do it any moment, every moment. Because that's the way grace is. And so he had designated hitters because his loving kindness endures forever. They had people that had to point it out. The better you know your God, the easier it is to be thankful and to praise and worship in the dispensation of grace. The better you know him. When he says worship without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians, it's really easy. You know this, you're not talking to yourself, you're talking to God. And I don't see a bit of problem. Maybe people must think I'm nuts sometimes because I'm busy chattering. But I know who I'm talking to. And it's not myself. And when I say thank you, Father, if you say something and I say thank you, Father, it's because I'm so used to saying that. That's an automatic reflex. Just say thank you, Father. And it's just kind of interesting. I'm finding I'm getting better at understanding the details. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful in everything. It's awful when I try to take a cap on a pill bottle and take it off. And I can't feel it well enough to tell whether it's loose or not. Net result? Yeah. Sometimes I drop the whole bottle. Sometimes I just drop the lid. It's just really hard to say thank you, Father. And because, I mean, it's just, I have that little issue and I'm doing better. Now, I think by the Holy Spirit's work, because I can say thank you almost all the time when things like that happen. Except when I drop a pill and it's hard to find. I don't know who trained those pills to roll. But somebody sure did train some of them, I take. When I have this little bitty pill, and it's the one that's hard to, you know, it gets in the wrinkles of your fingers if you take them. The next thing I know, if it drops in the rug, if it's got too much shag, I'm in trouble. Okay. See, you're not the only one that has these kinds of problems in that matter. Okay, that's 16:41. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Now we move from David to King Hezekiah. I try not to play favorites with people in the Bible. I don't really have an Old Testament hero that's my favorite. The Hezekiah would come pretty close. Because, you know, when God could stop the rotation of the earth for him, that meant he had some clout in that matter, as it were. And so in 30, verse 22, and it's easy because in 30, 22, you have him introduced, and Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites. Do you ever speak comfortably to people? Okay, you can look at your center column. It's okay. It literally says, he spoke to the heart of all. Right to their heart, their lave, their heart. He spoke to the heart of all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of Jehovah. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings, making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. Now it's kind of interesting here. They offered peace offerings and they made confession in the AV. That's what I was reading. New American Standard, I think, gets it right. Gave thanks. They gave thanks. English Standard Version does the same thing. I smile because I read Darby, and I read Darby a lot. He says extolling in his translation. And they took the lead under Hezekiah. This was a reaction against idolatry that had been entrenched in the nation of Israel. And it was time to get back with Jehovah. And so that's that part of it. Okay, we're going to go to the Psalms. And that's where I'm going to kind of try to work out of this in some senses. And I have several Psalms, letter E is my outline if you're following. Psalm 28, verse 7. It says, Jehovah is my strength and my shield. My Mogen. Or Mogen. And it depends on whether you want to make it an O sound or an ah sound. Shield, Mogen David. That really is the Star of David, or Shield of David. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore my heart rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Oops. He's been encouraged substantially. Should it be translated, praise him? If you're looking at a different version, you'll probably find it says thank him. Because I know the New American Standard says we'll give thanks to the Lord because his loving kindness is everlasting. And let's see, give thanks is New King James. So they made that adjustment. And where was I? Oh, I see what I did. I'm looking in the wrong page. Okay, I'm in the right place in the page. Yeah, no, I was right because they did it that way. Psalm 54, 6. Okay, now you'll notice that is different than what you have on F in your outline. Psalm 54, I was one chapter off or one psalm off. And so I'm correcting that, and I didn't catch it until it was too late to change that. So we're in Psalm 54:6. It says, I will freely sacrifice. Let me just translate it. I can't resist it. Let me sacrifice freely. It's what we call a cohortative. Or let me sacrifice in freeness. And I will praise thy name, for it is good. I will thank my name, for it is good, as the New American Standard. You see, it's hard to draw a line because it sounds like New Testament praise because you have goodness. And so it becomes confusing. The more you know about New Testament communication, the more confusing the Old Testament communication is. And it's just totally frustrating. We're used to pegging it real solemnly. In the Old Testament, you can't do it with thanksgiving. It can mean that context will help, but it's not going to help from the New Testament perspective. And that becomes a difficulty. Then in Psalm 75:1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Your character is near. Once again, it feels like praise. The AV translates it thanks, as do most translations. I always smile at the heading of this psalm. If you translate it, it says, to the chief musician, Alashish. And that means do not destroy, if you translated that from the Hebrew. So it becomes an interesting circumstance. Psalm 79:13. And here we have a very similar passage to what we have in Psalm 110. I'm not going to go back to, I've got 10 down in letter K. It says, so we, thy people, and the flock of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations, or generation and generation. We'll show forth your praise, halal. They will respond to what God does. It's interesting. Churches are all different. And you can go to churches where people have absolutely, it seems like they were poured in a Puritan mold and have remained there, and let the Puritans remain where they are right now. They are all dead and buried, and let them be there. Because they're that straight-laced, no humor, no joy on it. Every time I read, and I've read it several times, Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, I have to be reminded that he read that in a monotone from a manuscript. And the people that were sitting, those Puritans that were sitting in the pews, were hanging on to the backs of those pews because they were afraid of falling into hell. And he read it in a monotone. I tried one time to read a couple paragraphs of it in a monotone. And I gave up. It was just too cumbersome to read that. And this matter here, it says it's okay to rejoice in the Old Testament. And to show forth your praise. Exhibit it. There was activity. I won't say you go as far as the Orthodox Jews today do, but they, I'm sure, I know a certain woman got real mad at a king who was dancing before the ark, and he was just wound up to no end. We know that story. When his wife was not too happy with him. Interesting, it did not faze him. Psalm 92, verse 1. If you look at this, it's a title on this, and you can see it. It says, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. That word zamer, is that singing of thanks or praise? Of song is like shir is a word for song. Shir shirim is Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. That's this word. For the day of the Sabbath. So this was designated for the seventh day. I smile because my former neighbor was the Seventh-day Adventist pastor in town. He's retired, and I ran into him Friday. And we get along just fine. We have an interesting history together because Pat died in May of 2002, and his wife, I think, died in July. So she was killed in a motorcycle accident. So we both lost our wives not too far apart. And so we had some very interesting discussions, and I smile because I saw how he handled grief. I think he saw how I handled grief, and in fact, it happened to come up Friday when I talked to him a little, because it was so close. And he kept talking about meeting on Sabbath. And he knows I would never call Sunday Sabbath, because it ain't. Sabbath is the seventh day, and Sunday is the first day. Nice little day for resurrection, I think, in that matter. And I smiled because he kept talking about meeting for the Sabbath. And it was just the way he talks in that matter. And I kind of smiled. Okay, let's read the verse. The verse says, "It is good to give thanks to Jehovah and to sing psalms." And that's that other word that could be translated, give thanks in some year. To your name, O Most High. So you can see there was thanksgiving, but you had to, the temple was central. The character of God was manifested in the temple. Yes, there was some creation around it, involved in it, but most of it was all pivoting around the priesthood and the activities that were there in that matter. We already read Psalm 100 and verse 4. Psalm 118, verse 29 says, "Give thanks unto Jehovah, for he is good, and for his loving kindness endureth forever." Why is it we keep running into loving kindness with these things? Because it smells like praise of a sort. It ties with an attribute. But he says, give thanks. And it's the second masculine plural imperative. I couldn't resist, and he got loving kindness in these next verses, each verse in 136, 1 through 3. Give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks unto the God of gods, for his loving kindness endures forever. Give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness endureth forever. And so the focus here, and not under the law, is you had a place where his presence was manifested called the temple. And you had that opportunity, if you lived out of town, for the festival meetings, and you could go there for this then. If you lived in Jerusalem, you could hike down, as long as you were not too far away by the Sabbath day's journey that we're reminded of elsewhere in Scripture. Now, thanksgiving, and I'm just reviewing in this matter for grace. Isn't it nice to haul a temple around with you? You realize, yeah, he lives in temples, plural. He is within the believer. He indwells you. That's what makes it so easy to talk to him. And it's so well done that you can talk to him here and he hears you at the right hand, or from the right hand. What a beautiful, beautiful privilege it is. I have used Dr. Schaefer's definition for years. I've honed it in different places and changed and adjusted, but I like it. Thanksgiving is a communication with God in which appreciation for past, present, and future benefits, all of which are totally undeserved and unmerited, is expressed. An expression of appreciation for a benefit. And on the bulletin cover, I use three terms to describe it, sort of, with that idea. But it's an expression of appreciation. It's something you can articulate. A thank you is not hard to say. Not hard to say at all. And sometimes you don't even really need to articulate it. How many times did you say, yeah, thank you, Father, in your head? And you're communicating with him and enjoying that fact you can do that. And when you do that, that is called intimacy. And you're in the Holy of Holies of God. Because your body is called the Naos, the Holy of Holies in which God dwells. And you can talk there and it's heard at the right hand, and you're seen as talking to the Father by the Son from the right hand. And so when you give thanks, you have that opportunity. I'd like to think that there are a whole lot of Christians sending lots of messages from the right hand all the time. all the time, from anywhere on planet Earth. Just say thank you. And that Thanksgiving is a marker. Can't say it often enough. Ephesians 5:20 tells us that Thanksgiving is the one form of communication that is an automatic response of a spirit-filled believer. Thanksgiving. Being thankful doesn't make you spiritual, but being thankful shows you are spiritual if it's spontaneous. I know people that say, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to get thankful. And so they get thankful about it, all these crazy things. They're not led by the Spirit in it at all. And they think they're spiritual as a result because they're thankful. No, be spiritual and then you'll automatically be thankful. That's great. You say, okay, I'm a laborer together with God and I can see what He's doing through me. And it's so easy to just say thank you. That's the idea. Now I suppose we kind of wear this next segment out, because that's the rest of the bulletin cover. We are to be thankful, and I probably should have changed this order here. I pulled this off of another list. It is made for all things. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful, and it is addressed to the Father in the character of Christ. He hears from His right hand. It's as though Christ is thankful. The Father hears, and it's almost as though the Son said it. Because we are so in Him. What a blessing. Be thankful in everything. It's easy to be thankful for easy, good things, wonderful things, and all of that, isn't it? But when there are problems in your life, it's kind of hard to be thankful in those things, isn't it? And we have a lot of little things that are kind of hard. They're irritants. They're things that we wish would not happen. And it's very difficult to say thank you. Because we blame somebody else, blame ourselves for those things that have happened, and sometimes we even blame God. I had an experience a couple weeks ago. And I'm driving back from being with Kenyon. No, I wasn't the rest of them. And driving down the back roads. I can't stand TV highways, so I prefer those. Late at night. I mean, it was not late. It was dark. Well, dark. It was close to about 9 o'clock. And all of a sudden, my light went out on my dashboard. It said my engine's overheated. And my needle went. There was no place to pull over. So I said, well, I think I can limp this to a light. And I ended up out outside of Verborg. And there was a street light off of one of those circles. And I pulled off. Of course, as soon as I shut it off, I had a big cloud. A big white cloud. It wasn't incense. And I'm thinking, you know, what can we do here? I mean, what's going to happen? And it was really funny because I said, thank you, Father. I thought, that was kind of stupid. You know, I'm out here stranded. I don't carry a cell phone. My kids keep telling me I should carry a cell phone.
That's a lie.
And so... I'm out there, and it was kind of an interesting irony. I just didn't, it was funny. I was so at ease about it, except it was cold at evening, and a car pulls up across from me, and I'm going this way, they're going this way. And this gal says, you need help. And I said, I have a cell phone. So she went and turned around, came back. A gal by herself came back and let me use her cell phone so I could call my ever-present help in time of trouble. And so I called and I thought, this is crazy. While she's there with that cell phone, another car pulls up on the other side. I mean, the same right where she had. Another gal says, can I help you? And I thought, nobody else in her car either. I thought, what's wrong with these women?
You're not scary looking.
Oh, anyway. And then the third, another car came around, and she could see the remains of the steam. And she got out and decided she was going to repair it so I could limp home. And she was by herself. And she had a 2-gallon container, and, we didn't know that the container, the radiator had popped a hole and the reservoir had cracked. And so there was no way we were going to get it going. And I kept thinking, I was thankful. Now, you know what was interesting? The gal, this has nothing to do with this mess quite. The gal that let me use her cell phone. I said, I really, really appreciate it. I don't know whether it was wise for you to stop. But I wouldn't recommend that necessarily. And she said, all I ask is that you pray for my dad. And I'm sitting there. This must have been something to do with that divine appointment thing. And so I did. I have no idea what the issues were at all. Anyway, thankful in all things. No. I'd taken off my clergy bumper. Yeah, you never know what it was, but it was just kind of an interesting thing. And through it all, and I got through, we got it towed and everything else, and I was thankful for a brother and a sister-in-law that showed up, and in spite of his pain, in that matter. And that was a circumstance that was not comfortable. I could have hiked home. I'm used to walking that far. But I didn't want to really walk that road at night. And it worked out just great. That's not me 10 years ago. I wouldn't have been quite there. I wouldn't have been any of that responsive. So I was thankful all over the place. I was just I was just really grateful, and I thought, And then, of course, I thought, did I burn up my engine? And I'm still thankful in that matter. So that's in all things, or for all things. That was the circumstance. At all times, always being thankful. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful at all times. You have to be careful what you eat before you go to bed. Or you won't be able to be thankful at all times. These things can happen. And that's what it is. It says always. The word always is at all times if we translate it. And it is made in all things. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Yesterday, I found out a little late. I couldn't have done it probably anyway. But I had an opportunity to remember the Ray family, or Dan and his family. His youngest sister's son was killed in a pedestrian accident in Southern California a couple weeks ago. And yesterday at 11 o'clock, they had a memorial service. And I don't know. He's probably in his late 20s. And that opportunity to say, Father, here's an opportunity to be thankful I talked to Dan about it because they asked him to present a message for 5 minutes. Dan, 5 minutes? He was going to extend it to 10. Anyway, but I thought, because I know that family, I've known them for years and years. The mother of that child, I remember when she was a teenager, young teens. I know his sisters. I've known his parents. And I thought, I hope that they're able to be thankful in all things. That's a hard thing. That was the second child she had lost. And that's just been a span of years. And yesterday I was just thinking about it, and I thought, you know, if I'd been led, I'd have been there. But I found out way, way too late for what I had on my plate at that point. But in all things, I won't use illustrations. I could give you a whole lot of them where you can be thankful in all things that are catastrophic in your life. Because God knows what he's doing, you don't. And that makes a difference. Then the last one is to be thankful for all men. Be careful how much talk radio you listen to. You lose some of that Thanksgiving. You know, I mean, it's hard to be thankful on it, especially when you hear things that you say, whoa, they used to hang people for that, you know, that kind of thing. But for all men, I had to learn some of that earlier. Most of you may have too. As kids, you had some people, some kids that were, I can think of a bully. I was not thankful for him. I did learn one thing, and that wasn't righteous, that I could handle that bully with these two friends of mine. And he was about a foot taller than I was, I think, at the time. And my right and my left, my legs are too short, I couldn't outrun him. It was hard for me to be thankful for that kid. I've worked with people that way. You have worked with people that way. It is hard to be thankful for them. It's hard for me to talk to people who have issues at work, and they need the Lord so they can have some Thanksgiving, and don't. Where people are just a review problems. But we can be thankful for all men. It's interesting, I put New American Standard, it's on behalf of all men. It's who cares. And I think of saints. And my illustrations could come very easily out of a book called Martyr's Mirror, which is a book of Anabaptists back in the 1600s. They gave their lives for Jesus Christ. And they were thankful for all men. Sure knew how to make them mad, though. They wouldn't give them anything to write on, so what did they do? They'd write hymns and memorize them and sing them. So the people that hated them more. But a lot of those songs were compassionate for those others. Isn't it a blessing to know that we are in the dispensation of grace? And our Thanksgiving, it makes no difference what day of this month it is, or next month, or the month after. I mean, every day should be Thanksgiving Day. And it happens. And you don't need a big fancy meal to say this is Thanksgiving. It's just an opportunity to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And so I trust this has been it's a little different than what I normally do, but I thought maybe it would give us instruction as well as enjoyment of the day. Thank you, Father, again, for the opportunities that are ours because of Christ. May you continue to direct us in Christ's name.
You hold that look in your eye. Thank you.